Hey, what's up, y'all? You're tuned into Laced Up, your weekly source of all things about urban fashion and streetwear culture. I'm your host, DJ Presto, here on radio.dominican.edu. And thank you again for listening to this podcast, because we are not broadcasting live. Our school has a seminar being broadcasted at the moment, so thank you again for listening to this pre-recorded podcast. Listen to me ramble on and on about something I'm very passionate about, and I hope to pass on some of this passion down to y'all. Thank you again, whether you're, you know me personally, just supporting me, or you stumbled on this page accidentally. Thank you again. You're greatly appreciated. Like I said before, this show is all about, you know, fashion, streetwear culture, all that. And today, I kind of throughout all my shows, I kind of have like a set topic for each one, like, you know, say shoes or female fashion or old school fashion, whatever. But today's kind of a little different. We got a lot of broad topics we'll be talking about today. I hope y'all like that. And yeah, and today I'm very excited to tell y'all I have not only a special guest, but he is a co-host to this show today. He is one of my real, real good friends, a fashion and music guru, one of the purest souls you will ever hear talk in your life. I promise you that. Coming through to bless y'all real quick with his knowledge, this is Daniel. Let's say what's up to the listeners out there, Daniel. I feel it. So, how you feeling today?
It's a beautiful day today. You know, sun is out, birds are flying, and I'm here on this podcast. So, yeah, ultra dude. Blessed, ultra blessed,
super, for real blessed. So, you know, it's your first time on radio, is it?
Most well. So when I had a speech class here, actually.
Oh, for real?
Shout out to Stu. He had us practicing, you know, getting rid of our vocalized pauses, and so radio was one way to do that.
Mm-hmm,
so
definitely
I'm practicing right now.
Can have no dead air. Know what I mean? For sure. And you know, how does it feel to be on a podcast for like a real legit show? You know what I mean?
You know, it's a different atmosphere. You know, I'm used to shooting some YouTube videos and being able to edit stuff out, but I mean, this one isn't live. But when you are live on the podcast, you got to think about what you're saying ahead of time to continue the conversation. So it's fascinating. It puts you in a different mood.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. So first off, starting to today, what do you got on today? Just to give me like a detailed overview of, you know, your outfit right now.
Oh man, you know I got my Versace plaid shirt. You feel me? I got my anti-social social club. I'm just kidding. I don't have any of that.
I was about to say, that's Versace though?
No, you know, I just threw on whatever today. I got the Supreme S 6 logo baseball panel cap from Fall Winter 14. I got a Vans shadow plaid shirt back when I still worked at Vans.
You worked at Vans?
I did.
That's right. If y'all didn't know, he worked at Vans before I did, before any of us did. He's the trendsetter. He's the original damn Daniel.
You're too kind.
Pay your homage, bro.
You're too kind. Yeah, and then let's see what else. I got my... I actually have a Supreme shirt on, but you can't see it. I buttoned up my plaid shirt,
that's
but
cool.
I got to be discreet. Gotta be discreet, you know, it's quality cotton. I got the KRS-1T, and then I got some Bullhead black skinny denim from PacSun.
That's what's up.
And some Chelsea boots from Steve Madden.
That's what's up, that's what's up. Looking fresh today. You can't see it, but I can see it, and he is super fresh. I wish y'all can see it. But
you're too nice, man.
Yeah. So let's get into a little bit about yourself, you know what I mean? So where are you from, and what's like the fashion scene like out from where you're from?
So I live in Pinole, which is near, I always have to say this, it's near Hercules and San Pablo, Richmond area.
Yeah.
And so we're considered East Bay.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the fashion out there is, I honestly, it's a mixture of different places all around the Bay Area.
I feel it.
Because you have your up in Vallejo kind of people. Mm-hmm. It can be ratchet, or it could be refined, or it could be baggy, it could be all skinny, everything.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
Then we got if you go too further out, going toward Concord, you got your, what are they? The boat shoes. You got the cargos. You got the Oxford button-ups, button-downs. And then you got the Richmond and San Pablo area, which, for lack of a better term, you know, it's more predominantly Hispanic demographic. So, you know, whatever is in over there. I know in the high schools, and this is going on even when I was in high school, it's True Religion jeans. It's some fresh J's.
Yeah.
It's some polo hats.
Polo hats. I still be wearing them.
Yeah. You know, it ranges. So, you know, being in Pinole, even though it's a small town, we're surrounded by a whole bunch of different cultures in terms of streetwear that you could always find someone at least somewhat different.
So. Yeah. I feel that definitely. So, going on to like where you started getting into like fashion and whatnot, do you remember when and how you started to care about how you dress? Like anything specific, like how old were you, or what, anything like an artist or someone specific in your life that influenced how you dress? You know what I mean?
So, it's always funny thinking about how I dressed in the past, because
same. Yeah. I know exactly how you feel, bro.
You know, it started in elementary school, you know, fifth, sixth grade. Mm-hmm. I discovered rap. I discovered hip hop. I discovered that whole culture.
It was like a treasure chest.
Not necessarily, you know, how to dress, but what rappers were dressing like. Mm-hmm. And that was the time, big chains, big shirts, big pants, you know, big everything.
The huge dope boy look.
The dope boy look, you know, them franchise boys were my playlist definitely. For a good year. And so, you know, baggy white tees and stuff. You know, the time that I remember specifically when I discovered streetwear is something I could be interested in was, you know, my older cousin, shout out to my Kuya J over in the city.
Shout out.
And he was a hardcore Air Force fan, you know, right in the middle of the trend. So he was wearing these mid-top, all gray upper, white sole, blue swoosh Air Force Ones. Mm-hmm. I fell in love. Those were major key right there.
I feel it.
And so, you know, from that point on, it, you know, it really started with sneakers. And
yeah, definitely. You know, Game Fresh always starts with your feet.
Yeah, exactly. You know, started with the Air Forces, started with Nike in general. Then I branched out to SBs in middle school through high school. And, you know, I actually had quite a decent SB collection back then.
Oh, what? Like what?
I had some, man, gold box days, man. I had them.
Yeah.
I had them Batmans.
Mm.
Let's see. I had some Heaven's Gates highs. You know, some Newcastles, you know, a whole
for
bunch
you
of
SB
stuff.
Heads out there.
SB you know heads, I mean? Yeah, you know. So that's where it really started.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. I feel it. So are there any people in your life that was a huge influence on how you dress growing up?
Yeah, so yeah, my Kui J, like I said, you know, he got me into the whole denim scene, raw denim, the different cuts and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Mostly my cousins, surprisingly. It's more of my family than my friends themselves.
I feel it.
You know, I had friends that were mainly into video games and stuff, and that was mainly my shtick until I got into streetwear. Then I was really the only cat in my circle who was into clothes like that. So, yeah, mainly my cousins, because they're all older than me, and they were all in high school when I started getting into it. So I was kind of a little ahead of the curve in terms of streetwear, but not that far.
Yeah, I feel
and it. So they really jump started me. So
for sure, yeah. I feel like any artist, any musical artist then or now that is a huge influence how you dress.
Man, let's see. Well, currently, I mean, everyone got a reference Kanye, right?
Yeah, you gotta. Everyone, pay homage to that,
he got
boy.
Everyone back on the on the baggy hype, you know.
Yeah, the tattered look.
You know, the Chelsea boots. I mean, to be honest, I mean, I wouldn't wear Chelsea boots if he didn't make them look cool.
Yeah, definitely.
Let's see. Back in the day, man, Soulja Boy, tell him.
Soulja Boy, tell him.
With the baggy tee and the Bapes.
I didn't
even realize Bapes were actually that expensive.
Yeah, me neither. Or when like Kanye Perrell had him on, I was like,
yes.
What?
When he had his, you know, his sample he made what do you call it? He had a shoe out with Bape.
Yeah.
Those Bapesters, and those are ultra rare.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you know, it was for me, the artist back in the day that influenced me was whatever the trend was. To be honest, that's how I started learning. And it was mainly a process getting from, you know, what are other people wearing to today and how I want to find what I want to wear instead.
Yeah, that's what's up. Yeah. That's what's up. So when it comes to how you personally dress or how when you pick out an outfit in the morning or whatever, do you dress to make a certain statement to appeal to people that you see every day, or do you just, go for certain looks? Like, you're just trying to be comfortable, or you're trying to be dressy, you know what I mean?
Well, it certainly helps to have a significant other to impress,
Yeah, it definitely does. It plays a huge factor.
They say, if you have a significant other, they won't really care because, they'll love you at heart. But I'm going to be real. I'm trying to stun on my girl, So
yeah, you got it. You got to do that right, you know what I mean?
But as far as statements is concerned, not necessarily.
Yeah.
It's probably cliched enough to say I'm doing it for me,
mm-hmm.
or, you do it for the girls and stuff. I don't really need to do that part. But as far as me is concerned, yeah, it's just what I want to wear that day. The only thing I can say is I have a certain standard when it comes to dressing up.
Really?
It changes from day to day.
I feel it.
But my standard really is, I can't go out like I woke up this morning.
I feel you on that. I definitely feel you. Like, if I just go out and what I'm wearing, I just put shoes on or something, or like a sweater, I'm like, I'm not going to go out through the day feeling my best. You know what I mean?
Don't get me wrong. Jogging pants and baggy hoodies is all the rage nowadays.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Especially on campus life.
Shout out to campus life. But it's just a certain way that you hold yourself, and it starts with how you're dressing.
Mm-hmm.
And streetwear is all about that. It's about the look, and we could be very contradictory about whether or not we want to impress other people, because in reality, it all really is. You wouldn't care about what you dress if it didn't make some sort of impact on other people.
Yeah, definitely.
But when it comes down to my own personal standard, if I look at myself in the mirror and I'm not satisfied with what I see, then I gotta switch it up. Gotta change the top. You gotta change the shoes. Gotta get a haircut.
I feel it. Definitely. So, just from your perspective, do you think you dress differently from most people in your generation?
That's kind of a fence question, because I could say yes and I will say no.
Uh-huh.
I'll say yes because I keep up with the current trends.
At
our age,
everybody does.
We keep up with the current trends. Social media got us on that hype. Mm-hmm. So if you scroll on Instagram, there will see some new shoes, or maybe some shout out of another person who's considered best dressed.
Yeah.
That sort of stuff. Yes. But also no, because, like everyone says, I like to see what I see what I like, I get what I like, and that's really it.
Yeah. Well, no one's going to like the same thing, you know what I mean? Or the exact same thing.
Definitely not, So, take for example, right now I'm kind of on my European runner hype.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got your choice basic cut, quality cut clothing. So basic tees, basic long sleeves is mm-hmm. a good thing over there in Europe. And then they also got the joggers. I've been on my jogger hype for a good 3 years now.
I feel it. Before the hype, y'all. Pay homage.
The hipster. The hipster stuff.
Yeah.
But and then, the runners, even though, to be honest, I don't have a lot of runners, so I'm kind of mixing my own West Coast feel.
I feel it.
With the Vans, because you had to buy 10 pairs before you left.
You do. You really do, though. Maybe real generous with that. So where do you usually shop, like online or malls, or where do you usually acquire most of your clothing?
Most of my clothing is online, just for the sake of it's easy.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just I can find more essential things that I want online than what I'm limited to at the mall. Although, when I go to the mall, if I see something dope, I'll cop it.
Of course I'll buy it, yeah.
Yeah, I'll cop it. Yeah, I'm really more conservative with my buying for, in buying stuff, because I've gone to this point where it's starting to be quality over quantity. So mm-hmm. I'm trying to pick and choose which ones I really want to get, which ones I can mix with the wardrobe a lot, more easily. If you get that flashy Jordan shirt that only goes with the one pair of Jordans, there's not much versatility.
You can't do much with that.
You want to, as far as I'm concerned, you want to dress according to You know, what can I pick and choose? And maybe I only have five pants, five tops, but I can mix those up. I got 25 different outfits.
Yeah, definitely.
You
I
know?
Feel it. I feel it. So, what's it called? How do you feel about going back to like shopping at the malls and whatnot? How do you feel about like, you know, mall branding in correspondence to like streetwear status?
Yeah, that's a tough one. You can make enemies depending on what answer I make.
Hey, controversy makes for great radio, my friend.
Exactly. Yeah, versus mall brands. Whew. So here's an interesting thing is that everyone knows Supreme nowadays, right?
Yeah.
Supreme,
yeah.
New York, you know.
You got it.
It's the hype. It's the trend, and it's been the trend since Odd Future came out, mm-hmm. wearing the Vox logos.
Mm-hmm.
You know, James Jebbia, the founder of Supreme, worked with the founder of Stussy before he opened Supreme. Did you know that?
No, I did not, actually.
So Stussy is the OG streetwear brand.
Yeah.
Like, kind of everyone stemmed from Stussy because, you know, it was literally streetwear.
Yeah. I super duper, like, I'm a huge Stussy fan, but I didn't even know that.
You know, you noticed, right? Like, Stussy's kind of eternal, mm-hmm. for our generation.
Mm-hmm.
You've
Definitely.
Seen it in middle school, like, oh, yeah. those are rare.
Yeah.
To high school, everyone's trying to cop that Stussy.
Mm-hmm.
To even to us in college, maybe it's more of a common thing because it is a mall brand, but it is the OG brand.
Yeah.
So, you know, it kind of puts a different spin on things when you think about mall brand compared to current streetwear.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, Stussy is just, I use that as my main example as the pinnacle of streetwear, and they can create, you know, all these fall, winter, spring, summer collections, and they're still with it because of how consistent they are with their designs, with how much respect and love they have for clothing in terms of streetwear.
I feel it.
And, you know, it's kind of hard for these other up-and-coming brands, especially now, because what they don't have on the older brands is, you know, you know what... They have that experience. They have that drive, that inner focus and respect for streetwear.
Yeah.
You know, you can shout out other brands like Black Scale. You can shout out other brands like Huff Worldwide.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they grew up in, you know, during that time when Stussy was coming up, but then they're also taking their own values from that and creating their own things. And, I mean, here's another fun fact. Creator of Black Scale also was a co-founder of LRG Clothing.
Oh, what?
LRG, as you guys know, it's major in Mainland and Zoomies.
Yeah.
You can find it at JCPenney, mm-hmm. even.
You really can.
You know? So it's a blend. It's a contradictory blend. And the whole contradictory part is for whoever is current in streetwear and whatever opinions they may have, there's always some sort of divide between what is cool now and what's in the mall. If it's in the mall, it's considered played.
Mm-hmm.
I would be hypocritical if I said that I didn't feel that way at some point.
Yeah.
Because I was always so in tune with, you know, I want to be in, I want to get what's cutting edge, what's the new thing, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
But we don't realize that, you know, some of these mall brands, you know, they may be despised for having a more mainstream audience, mainstream consumer, but there's a reason why they were able to hit mainstream and get that money in the first place, you know?
Yeah,
so, you know, there's a whole bunch of different perspectives on,
mm-hmm,
that. And
mm-hmm.
that's how I feel. I'm kind of stuck in the middle. I have respect for everybody as much as I can, you know, just keeping that open mind to all different types of styles, mall or current.
For sure. I feel it. I feel that. And off that note, do you feel like kind of like the culture of streetwear is like, you know, being a bit watered down a little bit towards like, or heading towards, you know, in the near future or not, you know?
What do you mean by watered down? Like,
kind of, like, you know, you're talking about like, you're like whatever is at the mall is considered played. And then like, what if like more and more brands are like, you know, into that sort of perspective of what you're talking about? Like, do you think like the more, the more, I guess, publicity that brands get, the more...
Yeah, like you're saying, like, if it reaches to a wider consumer base, that it'll somehow tatter or deteriorate the kind of quality found in it originally.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, it goes back to that whole, you know, mall versus current trend thing.
Mm-hmm.
Let's think of one brand. I mean, LRG was let's use that as an example. LRG was considered cutting edge streetwear when we were in middle school.
Mm-hmm.
So this was 7th, 8th grade. Let's see, how many years ago was that? Like 6, 7 years ago?
Yeah.
You know, LRG was crossing over into the mainstream. They had their, you know, they had their cool tags and stuff. Yeah. And, you know, I see that as an example of perhaps a wider consumer base doesn't necessarily mean it's a good thing, because, you know, they can get, they get more money because it's more exposure, right? Mm-hmm. But then at what cost of design, at what cost of inner vision, you know, and what, at what cost of versatility are you sacrificing when you want to jump over to that mainstream?
Yeah.
And, you know, with LRG, it kind of happened in the worst way for them, in my opinion, at least from what I've witnessed, is, you know, because they wanted to sell more.
Yeah.
And more. So then what do you need more of if you're trying to do streetwear? You need more designs. You know, you need, you're more worried about the distribution rather than what is going into the designs. So yeah, they stuck to their tree logo and they stuck to whatever that going green symbolism that they did. But then, you know, you kind of get lost in all of their designs because at some point your supply is going to be more than your demand.
Yeah.
And that's really what they hit, you know, with going into a couple years later, you know,
yeah,
when they got that deal with, you know, Macy's and Zumiez and stuff, you know.
I feel it.
You know, I gotta add. Wait. Well, I just thought about it. I'll come back to it later. I'll come back to it
for
later.
For sure. On that note, we're gonna take a short musical break here. The song is picked out by our guest, our co-host. He is a musical guru as well. This is Tribe Called Quest Excursions, paying homage to Five Dog. You know what I mean? Rest in peace.
5-5.
Yeah. So stay tuned for more of this interview, and we'll be right back. This is Laced Up here on radio.dominican.edu. This is DJ Presto. Stick around.
Back in the days when I was a teenager, before I had status and before I had a pager, you could find an abstract listening to hip hop. My pops used to say it reminded him of bebop. I said, well, daddy, don't you know that things go in cycles? Way that Bobby Brown is just amping like Michael. It's all expected, things are for the looking. If you got the money, Quest is for the booking. Come on, everybody, let's get with the fly mode. Still got room on the truckload of black gold. Listen to the rhyme to get a mental picture of this black man, black woman picture. Why do I say that? Cause I gotta speak the truth, man. Doing what we feel, for the music is the proof. And planet on the ground, the act is so together. Bonafide strong, you need leverage to sever. The unit, yes, the unit, yes, the unit called the Jazz is delivering each year an LP filled with street goods. You can find it on your rack in your record store. If you get the records, hey, your thoughts are adored and appreciated. Cause we're ever so glad we made it. We worked hard, so we gotta thank God. Dishing out the plastic, do the dance till you're spastic. If you diss, it gets drastic. Listen to the rhyme, cause it's time to make gravy. If it moves your booty, then shake, shake it, baby. All the way to Africa, aka the motherland. Stick out the left, then I'll ask for the other hand. That's the right hand, black man. Only if you are noted as my man. If I get the credit, then I think I deserve it. If you fake news, don't fix your mouth to word it. Get in the zone of positivity, not negativity. Cause we gotta strive for longevity. If you botch up, what's in that? What? A pair of Nike size 10 and a half. Come on. Of the rocks, musically the quest is on the rise. We own these excursions, so you must realize that continually I'll pop my Zulu. If you don't like it, get on the Zulu tip. So what can you do in the times which exist? You can't fake moves on your brother or your sis, but if your sis is a
father is a jerk. Leave them both alone and continue with your work. Whatever it may be in today's society, everything is fair, at least that's how it seems to me. You must be honest and true to the next. Don't be phony and expect one not to flex. Especially if you're rhyme, you have to live by the pen. Your man is your man, then treat him like your friend. All it is the code of the streets. So listen to the knowledge being dropped over beats. Beats that are hard, beats that are funky. If you get your hook like a crackhead junkie, what you gotta do is know the tribe is in the sphere. The abstract poet prominent like Shakespeare.
Hey, welcome back, y'all. You're tuned into Laced Up. Here we talk about all things urban streetwear, street fashion, whatever you want to call it. Here on radio.dominican.edu. Thank you again for tuning into this podcast. I got my boy Daniel here. If y'all don't know, this dude knows his, you know. He definitely knows what he's talking about.
Just the love, man. It's just the love.
Yeah. And to my recent knowledge, you recently just came back from a trip to Korea, right?
I did.
How was that?
Yeah, it was life-changing in a way. You're just getting out of your element, going to another country, mm-hmm. and getting exposed to that culture
is amazing.
It's amazing. I was there for about, I want to say, 8 or 9 days.
Really?
And stayed in the urban city of Seoul.
For sure. That's what's up. Would you go with your family or?
I went with my girlfriend and her mom. We chilled at her brother's apartment over there, right dead center in the middle of the city.
So. Oh, that's what's up. Shout out to Kathy.
Kathy, the homegirl, the queen.
The queen.
You feel me? The one I always got impressed in the morning. You feel me?
Making hearts melt since.
Since 2009.
That's what's up. So, since you just came from Korea, what's like the fashion and like streetwear out there? You know what I mean?
Man, it's, you know, in ways it's different and in ways it's the same. So the whole element over there that they really focus on is outerwear.
Mm-hmm.
Mainly because
like layers and whatnot.
Yeah, so if you know, I didn't know this until I got there too, but Seoul is actually a bay. It's like the Bay Area.
What?
So the weather over there is about the same as the Bay. So I went over there thinking, man, I'm going to wear some button downs, some short sleeves, and I'll call it a day. Mm-hmm. Nah, I had to wear jackets the whole time. So
I feel it.
So jackets and outerwear over there is huge. Specifically bomber jackets, which I think that's kind of a worldwide kind of trend.
It's like a worldwide like phenomenon right now.
Yeah, you know, it comes up and comes down, you know, with fashion it's a whole circle. So mm-hmm. bombers definitely in, and trench coats and overcoats, the baggier the better, is definitely in over there. And so they're getting, you know, you get that mixture of high fashion type of streetwear, but it's blended with that East Asian, you know, Japanese, Korean, even Chinese type of comfy wear, what they call it on the interwebs nowadays.
I feel it.
You know, so baggy clothes. People like slacks actually nowadays, but they got them tapered, they got them cuffed.
I feel it.
And Stan Smith's Adidas is gigantic there.
Really?
Adidas is king.
That's what's up.
That and Samsung, but that's another podcast, I'm sure.
I feel it.
But yeah, so all of those things. One thing I should mention. You know, we have our U.S. streetwear brands, you know, we got Thrasher Magazine, we mm-hmm. got Huff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's to the point over there where they're making fakes of those, bro.
What?
On the real. They're making fake Thrasher hats out there.
That's crazy.
I didn't think that was possible because we could walk down the street, go to Zoomies, and cop that. Over there, they got some fake Thrasher hats.
Dang. That's crazy. That's funny.
You know, it puts a different spin on it. Because,
it takes a perspective.
Yeah, because it's so common here.
Yeah, it's like down the street, and then there, it's like a hype to get it.
It's a hype to get it because technically it's imported. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So that was crazy. And I had my Thrasher and Huff denim snapback over there. Man, the looks I got with that, and to me, that's a beater hat. You know it.
Yeah.
I bought it, but because I have love for both brands. But over there, man.
Dang, breaking necks.
And then you speak to you in Korean, and you don't. I didn't know what they were saying, but they were looking at the hat. So, you know, that's that example of international love for streetwear. Mm-hmm. So.
Definitely. And like the streetwear culture in like other places, like it's very, you can tell it varies. But do you think like it drastically varies from area to area? Or do you think like it was established in one place and it just got huge from there?
Talking about here at home or over there?
Like in just all over the world.
All over the world. You know, it's funny. I feel like, this is my opinion. Don't judge me on how correct I am.
No,
but
yeah, no problem.
It seems like streetwear was a U.S. kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I listened partially to one of your podcasts. You talk about the history of streetwear.
Yeah. You
talk about how it grew up in gangs and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that makes a lot of sense because since when did clothing or the type of different cloths that you had, type of graphics that you brandished, was so important other than streetwear, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Back then it was you know, suit wear. It was, you know, that was basically kind of it. Yeah. So when the gangs came up, repping where you're from in a sense translates to today's streetwear.
Yeah.
You know, what brand do you rep, really? What kind of box logo you got? You know, what kind of collaboration do you have? You know, it's those kinds of things that carried over in history. And I'm glad you covered that because that's major knowledge right there, dropping major knowledge. And so, yeah, that kind of, I feel like that grew from the U.S.
Yeah.
And it, you know, it made it possible for other countries, for other places around the world and around our country as well, to put their spin on it. Mm-hmm. And what they believe is streetwear.
Yeah.
And that's why you get nowadays that streetwear is so huge. It's so populated because of the population that's in it. It's just the gigantic, diverse culture of what you like and what is represented by your own culture. Mm-hmm. You know, for example, there was a drop this. There was a Supreme drop this morning.
Oh, what?
It was Sasquatch Bricks or something?
Mm-hmm.
Hardcore Japanese traditionalism in their fashion. And so they did a collaboration with Supreme, which is obviously from New York and LA.
Yeah.
And so they're providing high quality streetwear designs, but then they also had to drop the old fashioned, you know, it's not a button, but it's like kind of like a hook with
They
had the traditional garbs and they're selling that on a streetwear site.
That's crazy.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So that's just a big example of, you know, there's different blends in different places, and streetwear is highly, highly personalized.
Mm-hmm, definitely. I definitely agree with that. So, like, are there, like, any regions of the U.S. that, you know, have influenced certain trends that you're, you know, a fan of today? Like you said earlier, like, New York with, like, you know, the whole windbreaker kind of look, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. That influences me personally?
Mm-hmm.
Man. I gotta say, I'm heavy on the Bay Area, fashion, you know, which let me go back. So in high school, my ideal aesthetic in terms of fashion streetwear at the time was, you know, slightly baggy jeans, not too baggy, just so I could cuff them over any shoes I wore, you know.
Yeah.
And you know, the Kirkland tees. Yeah, shout out to the Kirkland tees.
Shout out to the Kirkland tees.
I don't know if it's as big anywhere else, but...
Yeah, honestly, I don't know. Yeah, actually, I just noticed that. It's not that... It's pretty big around the Bay Area. It's like...
You don't hear that from cats from New York. Yeah. Saying, man, shout out to Kirkland.
Yeah, definitely.
Maybe, you know, that's what I mean with, like, the Bay Area aesthetic. Mm-hmm. It's a little more casual, but it's blended. Because we are a diverse area.
Yeah, definitely.
You know what I mean?
It definitely plays a part.
You know, we're not West Coast like LA West Coast because they have their own style.
Yeah.
Bay Area is more, you know, it's as blended and as diversified as we can imagine.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, definitely Bay Area is the roots. I mean, I'm starting to get on my European hype, trying to get on their level. It's a little, not classier, but it's maybe more clean cut, I would say. You know, definitely. It kind of blurs the lines between streetwear and you know, high fashion, so to speak.
I feel it. I feel it. So so you've been in this fashion scene for like a minute now, and you've definitely
like an hour, like 2 hours, man. I don't know how long it's been.
So like, yeah, you've seen like the whole fashion scene, like kind of, or at least Bay Area fashion, evolve over the years. Do you think you can elaborate a little on the changes you've noticed over like the past decade, or like from Bay Area like fashion?
Yeah, that's the thing with Bay Area fashion. It is heavily influenced by whoever and whatever is in right now. So, I mean, let's see. There are some things that are eternal. I could say that.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, Vans are eternal. It's a West Coast thing for sure.
Yeah.
And it's no different up here in the Bay. Everyone got their authentics and their skate highs. Those are just...
Those are them.
Those are key.
Got authentics on right now.
Those are key. I mean, old schools are blowing up right now as we speak. So, and that's been eternal. In terms of Bay Area, I mean... You got to support your local brands, you know? And that's always been a thing over here, supporting local brands. I mean, Huff grew up in SF. And, I mean, he's from L.A. and now... he's from New York, sorry. But then he's down in L.A. But he opened up his first shop over here in SF.
Yeah.
And, you know, the kind of love that he used to get over on Haight Street is just amazing. Then you got your brands like Undefeated, come-ups like Diamond Supply, coming from LA, going to the Bay Area. Those kinds of brands, you know, they stick to where they're from. And when they branch out, they still stick to what they came with.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there are still brands over in SF that are remain unchanged. You know, you got Benny Gold, you got Undefeated, like I said, and Huff still got its roots over here with their Plant Life socks, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So... In terms of trends of streetwear in the Bay Area, it's a lot more OG brands than we think there are.
Yeah.
And it's just been going along that line. Oh, and outerwear. Just jackets every day because SF is cold.
It's 24/8,
you know.
Yeah, I feel it. Any trends popping right now that you hope stick around for the next like 5-10 years?
Ooh. That's a tough one. Because, man, we can listen to this next week. That trend is done.
Yeah, that's a toughie, right?
Let's see. I love joggers. I love my joggers. Mm-hmm. Shouts out to a published brand over in SoCal. They make, in my opinion, compared to Kith NYC over in New York, they make the best joggers, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
So I can see joggers becoming a thing later on. But... as we all know, you know, when we look at current trends, baggy is the thing. And like it or not, baggy is going to stay.
Yeah.
So, you know, the long tees and stuff, they're just hitting mainstream. Mm-hmm. But they're so versatile nowadays with, you know, skinny bottoms, big tops. That's what I'm kind of seeing.
That's what I'm wearing right now, actually.
That's what we're wearing right now. You know, you can argue about how up to date we are. But, you know, streetwear takes a long time to progress to the mainstream.
Definitely.
So, yeah, baggy tops, slim bottoms, boots are on the come up in terms of streetwear. I want to say that, you know, I mean, Chelsea boots, I mean, we couldn't imagine 5 years ago that we would wear Chelsea boots other than some slacks, you know what I mean?
So,
there's that. And, oh, slides.
Sandal slides.
You know, shout out to the sandal boys. You know, Adidas got their slide game on. I mean, all shoes are starting to get their slides on.
Definitely knows that.
I mean, in high school, it was really a thing about, you know, I mean, like we can see it now. Call it on the college campus. You know, you just slip them on and you're good to go.
Good to go, campus life.
But now it's comfy wear is starting to be taken to a whole nother level with that. Mm-hmm. So they're quality refined plastics and EVA type of soles on your slides. You just don't got to lace them up anymore. I mean,
I feel it.
That's the new sneaker. That's what I think. I mean, personally, it's not my thing. I don't really wear sandals that much. I mean, but just in terms of predictions, that's kind of the way.
This is all in speculation.
Yeah.
I feel it. If you're just tuning in, it is Laced Up. You're tuned in with DJ Presto, my boy Daniel. Here on radio.dominican.edu. So you're a huge fan of hip hop music and its culture, right?
I love rap. Love rap.
Yeah, if you don't know, this man is, you know, one of the most passionate people I know when it comes to music. So pay homage, brah.
Man, pay homage to DJ Preslo over here with all the compliments, man.
Right on, bro.
Hey, shout out to you and holding down this radio show, man. For this is one of a kind.
Dude, thank you. Thanks so much. So, like, getting back to a little bit about, you know, music. Do you agree that, you know, hip hop and streetwear have always been, you know, kind of intertwined over the years?
No doubt intertwined. I mean, you just listen to their music. They will always shout out their brands.
Mm-hmm.
They'll shout out what they're wearing. It's all a matter of, you know, in hip hop, it was a whole thing about, it is still a whole thing, sorry, about braggadocious.
Mm-hmm.
What do I got? What do you not have that I got? Exactly. What can I have that'll be better than the next rapper, better than the next person you see down the block?
Mm-hmm.
And it's evident. It's been evident since the Sugar Hill Gang, you know, with These Are the Breaks, you know.
Yeah,
they're talking about their Lincoln Continentals before, you know, bragging about that kind of stuff was even a thing. So, you know, over the years, it's been different things that they've been bragging about. But mm-hmm. the main thing is that's been eternal so far, streetwear, or in, you know, in more general term, what you got on.
Yeah.
So it was mainly jewelry. Then they figured, you know, there's the power of the brand. So other brands like Polo Ralph Lauren, you got the high fashion brands turned into streetwear like Gucci, you know, those kinds of things. Even something as commonplace now as Nautica or North Face.
Mm-hmm.
Those are huge.
Yeah, those are pretty huge.
You know, so rap really defines itself in one aspect or another on what they're wearing, and streetwear is definitely coincided and brought up at the same time as the rise of rap. So they just come together. You got rap, you're gonna have streetwear in some way or another.
I feel it. If you can recall, you know, what are some trends that were like maybe the 90s, 80s, maybe early 2000s that was, you know, influenced by hip-hop music?
Yo, let's count the ways, bro. I mean, you got your boy LL Cool J, right?
Yeah.
You got the Kangol buckets.
Mm-hmm.
Man,
mm-hmm.
Kangols. That was a thing.
That was huge,
you know?
Yeah.
You got the tracksuits.
The tracksuits, man. With the gazelle glasses.
Right. Man, that was pimping back then, you know?
Yeah, it was.
And you went back when breakdancing was a thing. It was more about, you know, you're the breaker because you got the tracksuit on. Mm-hmm. And that went hand in hand with when LL Cool J was like, you know, this is a thing. I got to make this a thing.
Yeah.
So let's rock it, you know, with a six pack, of course. But I mean, he sold it, right? So Run DMC. There you go. Crucial. I mean, Adidas had its start in the 80s with Run DMC. So there was that as well. I mean, they made a song called My Adidas.
Yeah, I played that on one of my shows.
Yeah.
Yeah, My Adidas.
You know what I mean? So that, I mean, just the whole song about their shoes. Like that's big right there.
Yeah, that's huge.
Then let's see. You got the 90s, so you got some baggy windbreaker wear.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when the 90s New York rap was huge. I mean, Biggie was just the brunt of it. He was the full force, but you also had your other groups, like, you know, you had Big Daddy Kane. It was leaking over to mainstream R&B, like mm-hmm. Shy, and you had there's so many people you want to name, you know?
There's a lot.
You know, so it's fascinating to look at the timeline of rap, and then
mm-hmm.
when you see that type of rap, you'll think of a certain brand, you'll think of a certain way of dressing.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. So
yeah, definitely. Any current trends or brands that are, you know, really popular in the media right now that is due to certain music artists right now?
Yo, it's bigger than ever.
Yeah,
I mean, it's partially the artists themselves, but then it's also the media.
Yeah.
So, and especially social media, because streetwear, I think, is number one in terms of Instagram and
mm-hmm.
Facebook and Twitter.
OOTD.
OOT hashtags, you know? Yeah, hashtags. That's how we communicate mm-hmm. in terms of streetwear, of what you're wearing and stuff. I mean, the GOAT to the father, the Yeezus,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Kanye has been on his fashion streetwear tip for a while.
He's an icon.
I mean, I don't mean to ride him like that, but it's true. It's,
yeah, you gotta pay homage to the pioneers out there, bro.
These long line tees weren't really mm-hmm. a thing without him, you know?
Definitely.
So Kanye for sure. Everyone shouts out ASAP Mob because they got their New York gritty but high fashion wear.
Yeah.
So they'd be
looking pretty.
Bro, pretty Flocko.
Yeah.
I mean, Rocky could rock. He could rock the tricky Rick Owens.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he can have the Geo Basket Ramon Highs, and then he could wear some Pyrex. Or he could wear some white cement fours.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So, yeah, shouts out to them. You know, we have people on the West Coast as well. YG has, he's sticking to, you know, he is blood affiliated, mm-hmm. but he's also has that streetwear influence as well.
Yeah,
I mean, definitely. He kind of takes it back further than everyone else, really, because he got the Cortezes. Mm-hmm. He's got the mm-hmm. he's got the Bompton hat, the snapback. You know, it's yeah, those yeah. kinds of things that are just prime examples of where you grew up with is what you're gonna stick with for the rest of your life. Mm-hmm. So, you know, wherever they rep, especially nowadays, wherever they rep is kind of shows who they are in terms of what they're wearing. And then you got your outlier brands. You got your brands that are started online. I mean, you got Social Club.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they started out just making hats. And then you have a guy like Kanye, you got a hoodie on Drake, and then there it is.
Yeah, Drake with the whole sweatsuit thing.
With
going
the sweatsuit
on.
Thing, it's over. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, Drake is huge influence for streetwear nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
For men's streetwear, because, you know, he can go comfy or he can go Tim's.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So he's been seen wearing Palace skateboard. He's had the CDG Supreme collab hoodie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he has all those things, and one way or another, he's got that mass consumer audience behind him. And that's how it is nowadays. The brands are dictated by the rappers that they sponsor, who in turn show the audience and the consumers what is currently, quote, a trend.
That's what's
so up. It's all a circle.
Yeah.
You just gotta, if you wanna be like us, you know, like us cool kids, you know, see it past that, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you just gotta, you know, pick and choose from there.
Mm-hmm. I feel it. Are there any, you know, do you believe, I guess, this is just your opinion, but do you believe, like, the way someone dresses says a lot about their specific identity?
Definitely not. And here's why.
Okay.
Is, you know, the whole cliche saying, don't judge a book by its cover.
Yeah.
You know, streetwear is just one nice gold fancy cover. And in some ways or another, and this is my opinion, so don't get it twisted.
Yeah.
You know, one way or another, how someone dresses is an expression of who they are.
Mm-hmm.
But let's say, for example, they have a bad day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're not dressed a certain way. Maybe the standard they don't like. And then we're over here judging who they are based on what they're wearing.
Yeah.
You know, in some ways that could be a bad thing, because maybe it's not always expression. It's just, I got to get my clothes on. I'm a human being. Cover me up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So what I'm trying to get at is, you know, approaching each person. I mean, you know, whatever they're wearing, that's tight. You know, whatever it is that fits for you, do you.
Yeah.
But the judgment should never be on what they're wearing or how expensive or how cheap or how frugal they may be.
Yeah.
Because when I take it as a personal example, when I was in high school, I couldn't afford all of the nicest things that I wanted to get.
Yeah.
And so maybe 80% of the time in high school, I couldn't look the part that I wished I had looked back then. But I had the love for the streetwear.
Yeah.
I had the love for the kicks. I had the love for the brands. I had the love for the aesthetics of it all.
Mm-hmm.
But I just couldn't afford it. And so if you were to look at me, you know, 4 or 5 years ago, people would probably assume, you know, he doesn't know anything about streetwear.
Yeah.
And granted, it's true. I mean, I didn't look the part, but I had a love for it.
Yeah.
And so that's how I feel about that is, I could address, you know, your by any means necessary collab Supreme jacket. You know, I could address your H&M joggers, because I've been there.
Yeah.
And I can see that whatever works out for you is what you should follow. And I guess my overarching theme that I've held on to, besides, you know, not judging person by its cover, is, you know, don't let the clothing wear you.
Yeah.
You wear the clothing.
Wear the clothing.
You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Because, I mean, we could go off. I'm sure you probably had a question or something about, you know, do you consider yourself a hype beast or not? You
yeah.
know, I've heard that question before.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's really what you like and how you present yourself with that article of clothing rather
like.
Than what is current now. And because everyone else will probably love me if I wear it kind of idea.
It's, yeah.
You shouldn't think like that.
Yeah.
Because you'll waste a lot of money.
I feel that.
Hey, question. Like,
what's up?
Is it hype beast to say that you're not a hype beast?
Ah, that is a toughie. I don't know.
Because, you know, my bro, I'm gonna ask you, like, you consider yourself a hype beast, and you'll say,
I don't know what I'd say,
you
honestly.
don't
'Cause it's kind of, I can say yeah and I can say no, honestly. Depends how you look at it, you
I
know
just
what I
haven't thought
mean?
about this.
I feel it, I feel it. That's what's up. Again, thank you again, though, for taking time out of your busy day to be on my show.
Hey, all love, man. Shout out to the Lace Up Podcast, DJ
Yeah.
Presto. He's holding it down. One of a kind podcast. You don't hear a lot about this. So if this makes the interwebs and gets famous, I'm gonna be like, yo, I was a guest on the first season.
I feel it. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you all again for tuning into this podcast. You're tuned into Laced Up, talking about all the ins and outs about urban streetwear here on radio.dominican.edu. I'm your host, DJ Presto. Thank you again for tuning in. I'll see you again for my last show of the semester next Thursday, 5 to 6. Make sure y'all tune in, all right? Later.